is
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you guys. This is Salita here on Say Your Peace Radio Network. While we are waiting for our guest to call in, or I'll have to call her, we're going to be talking with Veronique tonight. I'm hoping I'm saying her name right. Yeah, I think it is. Veronique is her name. Just one second here. Let's see. Okay. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
How are you, ma'am?
No, actually, that one gave me 647 as the area code, not 347.
Okay.
I was calling the number, and I kept getting a recording, so.
That's probably my fault. I apologize.
That's okay.
So how are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, just wonderful. Thank you for having me tonight.
Yes, I was listening to your music, and I was like, oh, my God, I love music like that. You got it going on, this lady.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm just honored that you got it.
Yeah, we were having some issues on you today. I don't know what it was. I was trying to download your music, and then I was like, okay, it's not doing it. I'm on a brand new computer, so I'm still kind of learning how to do a lot of things.
Oh, Lord.
that
is too funny.
So tonight I want to talk. This is your night. So tonight I want to talk about you. I want you to tell our listening audience about who you are, how you got where you are now.
Okay.
And tell us everything we need to know about you. Not everything we want to know about you, but everything we need to know about you.
I like that. Not everything you want, but everything you need. Okay. That's funny. Okay. I think I can handle that a little bit.
Okay.
Let's see. What do you need to know? Well, the first thing I think you need to know is that I am a Christian.
Okay.
Strong woman of faith, as you can tell by my music. I'm all about music having a message. It needs to mean something. You know,
mm-hmm.
We have so much out there today that is just, you know, not music. So my goal is always to feed the soul. And that's what soul music is to me, whether it's gospel, whether it's jazz, country, and Western, you know, whatever it is, it needs to say something. So my mission and my passion is to make music that feeds the soul and uplifts the spirit. What you need to know, what you see is what you get. What you see on stage is who I am off stage. You know, I believe in energy and the flow of energy. What I give out is what I feel from the audience, and what I feel from the audience is what I give back. So very, very spiritual minded in my approach to the things that I do, whether it's music, whether it's school, whether it's my children, work, whatever the case might be. I just believe in the positive flow of energy. aside from the music, you know, I am in school full time, working on my doctorate degree.
Oh!
And, so there's a lot more to me than just the music. My professional field is human services. I hold a master's degree in clinical psychology. So
good. That's congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. I work diligently in my church. Prior to leaving Michigan, I was the director of music in my home church for a number of years. I grew up sitting behind the piano teaching choirs, all of them. So music has been a part of me forever.
Man. Even as a little kid, you were there.
Well, yeah, the earliest story I love to hear my mother tell is about they bought me a little organ when I was two, and she said she recalls it was Christmas, and everybody was sitting in the living room. We were at my grandmother's house, and she heard "Joy to the World," and she thought it was one of the older kids, and she walked in, and it was me. I was humming, and. Figuring out how to play "Joy to the World" on my brand new organ.
Oh man!
So, yeah, and then about a year later, we were riding in the car and we were listening to the Stylistics 8-track. So that'll tell you something.
Yeah.
We were listening to the Stylistics, and she said that she turned around, and I was back, and I had my eyes closed, and I was singing, "You Are Everything, and Everything Is You." And she said her mind was blown because I was on pitch, I was on key, and I was singing in harmony with the record. And she just said she looked at my dad and went, "Wow." And I actually remember riding in the car. I remember that story because I always remember and what carried me through a lot of, you know, when I would step out and do things musically or go and audition for plays and whatnot, I would always hear her saying, "Sing, baby." So that's the story I remember the most, is her in the back seat with, you know, her watching me sing in the back seat. So when I say I came out singing and playing. So, yeah.
Okay. How do I want to ask? I want to make sure I'm asking this correctly. When it comes to your music, inspires you to want to go in the studio, first of all, sit down and write, then go into the studio and do your thing. What inspires you to do all that?
Wow. There are so many different inspirations. I mean, and they hit you at different times. I can be in the middle of doing something, and I'll have a thought, and I'll just sit down and start to write. I could be watching a movie and somebody might say something in the movie that triggers a thought in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a lot of music, a lot of producers, excuse me, that'll send me tracks and say, "Hey, listen to this. What do you think?" Sometimes, like, I'll get in the zone and I might just write. I have a journal of just lyrics, you know, songs that I've written, and I'm searching for the right music to go with those words. But then there are other times where I have piles and piles of tracks from different DJs, house music DJs, soul music producers and whatnot. And I just might go through one day and sit and listen. And it'll trigger, you know, a chord pass or a note will trigger, "Wow, this would go really well with this song." Other times, I might just be listening to my CD of tracks and get inspired. I might hear some words, or I'll hear a melody, you know, and I might hum that melody, and out of that come the word. I'll give you a perfect example. My track, "Beautiful." A lot of people think that I wrote that song for my husband, but I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to the words, it sounds like it. The way you speak touches me. The way you call to me fills my soul with ecstasy. It could be for anybody. But when I sat in the studio with the Smith Hall team, their house music duo out of Detroit, I heard the melody, "Beautiful," and it was just one word.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "This song is going to be called Beautiful."
Uh-huh.
I had no lyrics written or anything. I sat in the studio as I was listening to the track, and I wrote the lyrics to the song.
Man.
It's amazing. Because, believe it or not, before 2006, I had never written a word
mm-hmm.
of a song. I mean, I did write a song that my home choir sings,
mm-hmm.
Actually a couple of songs, but it never dawned on me that I had the skill or the talent to write music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It came out of nowhere, and again, a lot of the lyrics, I don't write them. Before I listen to a track, before I set my mind to doing anything musically, before I even walk into the studio, I
mm-hmm.
pray, and I ask uh-huh. God to speak through me and give me what it is that He wants me to give to everyone else, you know,
mm-hmm.
give to you. My inspiration to go in the studio is just when it's, you know, it's like having a baby when you're 9 months pregnant and your ankles are swollen and your feet hurting and your back hurting and you just want to get that baby out.
Yeah.
To walk in that studio, it's just like, okay, I'm in the delivery room and I'm pushing. And that final push is when the baby is out or when that CD is released or that single is released, and it's like, yes, it's done. So that's the motivation, you know. The new project that's coming out is called Journey, and
uh-huh.
I'm so ready to birth that baby.
Mm-hmm.
It is not even funny. I am so excited about the new project. It is. It's completely different from what you've heard in the first project, first full project of Variations of Soul. Completely
uh-huh.
different. So I'm very, very excited about it, and I'm excited to share the music with all of you.
Awesome.
But I can't tell you no more than that.
That's it, huh? What I want to do is I want to attempt to play Beautiful for everyone so they can hear it, okay?
Okay.
Let's see if we can do this.
Okay.
Thank you.
I like that. I really like that.
Thank you. Now, that song was Know Yourself.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was beautiful?
I wrote that song. No, that was Know Yourself. But I wrote that song for my children. That was a dedication to my children.
Oh, I am so sorry. I played the wrong song.
No, it's okay, because that's actually my favorite, my first favorite song, my favorite song on Variations of Soul, because it means not that the other songs didn't come from my soul, but that song, of course, holds a very, very special place in my heart, because I'm always teaching my children to live.
Oh, you guys, I think we dropped the call. Let's see if I can get her back.
Calling you back right now.
Okay, you want me to hang up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right.
All right, there we go. We're sorry for that.
Are you there?
That difficult. Yes, you're here.
Yeah, it's okay. I sometimes my phone, my house has black spots in it, or what, dead spots
in
it.
Yeah, dead spots. Mine do too with my cell phone. Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so it's not just me. Gotcha.
No. No.
So now I don't feel like I'm crazy.
No, okay. You're not crazy, sweetie. You're not crazy.
Well, no, what I was saying is that song holds a very, very special place in my heart, because I'm always teaching, I've always taught my kids to live their truth.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to live your truth, you have to know who you are. So before you can go off and you can welcome love, or you can welcome wealth, or you can welcome any experience, any life experience, you need to find out what God has given you, what he's created in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always supported them. I've always supported their dreams, and I've always said to them, you know, I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not strong enough to believe in you, then you need to hold fast to my belief in you until you're strong enough to stand on your own.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
That's where that song,
I like that.
Yeah.
I love.
Yeah, so that's where that song came from.
Oh, I really like that. It, you know what, I was on your Reverb, and when I pressed Beautiful, uh-huh, it actually played that song right there. Know Yourself played. I don't.
That's because it was meant for that song to be the first song that she played on the show.
Exactly.
So.
That's exactly right. Now, I hear you from Michigan.
I lived in Michigan for a number of years. My father was a Marine. He was a Marine, a career Marine, and we ended up in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually born in Bethesda, Maryland, and we left D.C. when I was 12 years old. So I spent the better part of my early years on the East Coast, in my home, being homegrown. And with my father being military, we were relocated to the Detroit area, so I spent the better part of my teens and adult life in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. So you've seen.
But I am You know what? Not really, because my parents wanted me to be stable. So I lived 8 years of my life in North Carolina with my grandparents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they didn't want me to move around as mm-hmm. much as most military children do. So I was very, very stable and settled.
Mm-hmm.
And a nice little cushy country life with my grandmother. I mean, when I tell you we was in the country, girl, I grew up in Hopgood, North Carolina. Don't play with me.
What you call it?
Hopgood. H-O-B like boy, G-O-O-D like dog.
Oh,
Hopgood, North Carolina. Don't play. We was right around the corner from Palmyra and down and about a mile and a half away from Scotland Neck. Don't you play?
Oh, Lord.
But all of that is about 45 minutes to an hour below Greenville, which is a place that everybody knows in North Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yes. And then at 8, my parents brought me to Norfolk, and that's where we stayed for about 2.5 years. And then we ended up moving back to the Washington, D.C. area until I was 12. And
that's when we
were relocated to Detroit. And that's where my life, that's where my grown-up stuff happened, you know, marriage, children, you know, all of that good stuff. So that's the, those are the good things that came out of Detroit. You know, the relationships, the friendships. I don't get me wrong. My parents are still in Detroit, so I have two homes. But the East Coast, I have always been an East Coast baby. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
By nature.
Because when I saw that you lived in Michigan, I used to live in Saginaw.
Yep. Well, you know, that's Detroit. Everybody, they don't know those other towns. So you might as well say you lived in a suburb of Detroit, even though it's all the way on the west side of the state.
That is so true. You know, when you say Michigan, oh, you're talking about Detroit. You know, it's like that.
That's the first thing I
know. Exactly.
Yeah.
New Orleans, we're in Louisiana.
Huh?
And the only place everybody knows is New Orleans. How close are you to
New Orleans?
Okay, you guys,
it's
in New Orleans.
There's so much more. My late pastor, my first pastor in Michigan, grew up in Vidalia, Louisiana.
Yeah.
He just used to tell people, I grew up in New Orleans.
Yeah.
you know. So
the
it's like whatever.
Now, where is that at? Now, how far is that from? No, I've never heard of. You know, I was like, forget it. I'm not telling you where I'm from anymore. But I'm really originally.
Well, you know what?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but people know Saginaw Valley State.
Yeah. You know what? I will confess. I wasn't. See, my mom packed us up and moved us from New York, and we weren't. It was 5 of us, and we weren't too happy about packing up and leaving New York to come to Saginaw. So we didn't really move Saginaw.
Yeah, I know the feeling. My father was only supposed to do a 4-year tour in Detroit, in Warren is where we were, where he was working. He and my mother worked. And then we were supposed to come back to the Arlington area. After his 4-year tour there, we found our church home, and my mother was very adamant that she didn't want to move. So we kind of stayed there. But I was not happy about leaving D.C. I was not happy at all.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game. This culture shock gets us.
Yes. Actually, you know what? One of my teachers, I never forget this, when I found out we were relocating to Detroit, one of my teachers said to me, girl, don't you worry about it. Going to Detroit is just like going to a big D.C. And when I got to Detroit and I actually started to experience Detroit, there are really a lot of similarities in certain areas of Detroit that kind of remind you of the D.C. area. So although a culture shock, I mean, it was kind of like going from one D.C. to the other.
Yeah. And the weather is,
Let's not even talk about the weather.
I love being up there, but I couldn't live there now. I couldn't.
Yeah, I know about that too. Now that we're back in the DMV area, it's like, okay, now I remember. But what's funny, and here's what really gets you. When it's cold, when it's like 50 degrees here,
mm-hmm.
and the big parkas come out and the gloves and folks walking around in the big old Russian hats and freezing and shaking, and we're walking outside in like fleece jackets going, what in the world? Are you guys cold? It's freezing. I go, okay. Well, if you say so. that I will never get over. Or people sliding around and bumping into each other in the snow, and I'm going,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
no.
In the rain here. They'll do it in the rain here. Some people just don't need to be on the road with cars.
Hello. Hello. But what's really dumb and what I will never get over about the Midwest folks, the first winter is always the same. It's always bad. It's always bad. It's always you just – why is it that folks in the first winter in the Midwest, like Detroit, and I love them to death, but why is it that y'all can't drive? I don't get it. I don't get that. I still don't get that. I don't understand that. I'm like, really?
How to drive in the snow.
How do you not know how to drive in the snow in Michigan? Hello? So that's something in the 20-plus years that I lived in Michigan that I never understood. I never got that. So. But it's good to be back. It's good to be back in the area. It really is. And like I said, Detroit is going to always be my second home because it played a very, very intricate part in developing who I am, especially musically.
Yeah.
Because in my church home, which now my father is the newly elected pastor since January of this year.
Oh.
Yeah. But in that church, I grew up musically in that church. My family, my paternal family is very musical. Actually, both sides of my family are very musical. So I grew up in music. But it was in my home church, Calvary Baptist, that I was cultivated as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
That my skills were cultivated to teach music, to teach voice, to train, you know, young people in how to what the secular world would call perform, how to, you know, mic etiquette and those types of things. So what you see on stage is actually what was cultivated in my home church.
And that's good
because
people come straight from the streets and it's not, I'm not saying it's not about the gospel, but a lot of people don't even come out of the churches. It's something natural that they have, and they have that music sense. It's a gift from God, actually. And they have a musical sense about them, and they can just naturally blow.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
God puts certain
a whole
people
lot of them.
Just that.
Yep. Yep. Well, I always tell people that I've been blessed to, we all have a life's work and we all have a life's calling.
Yeah.
I was blessed in that early on I understood and I recognized. I always said, even growing up, that I wanted to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And like most kids, you say, I want to be a medical doctor. I want to be a pediatrician or whatever. But I used to say a medical doctor growing up, but then as I got older, I began to switch it around. But I've always said I wanted to be a doctor, but it was always my mission to help people. So I went into the human services field. So for a number of years, I was able to walk in my life's work. And I know that because in social services, you know, you deal with a lot of different issues. And it takes someone who has a heart and a commitment to do the work of a social worker.
Exactly.
But then we also have a life's calling,
mm-hmm.
and I recognized early on that my calling is my ministry is my music.
Exactly.
And I thank God that I'm able to walk in my ministry every day.
Exactly.
What I love is that what you get through my music is truly what comes through me. And when I pray, a lot of times when I go in the studio, I have to go in the studio with my lyrics because I have no clue most of the time what I've written.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. And a lot of producers find that strange. It's like, how do you not know your own words? I'm like, look, man, just play the track. I don't know. Just come on. Let's do this. But it's because when you get into that zone,
mm-hmm.
it just happens.
Yeah.
It just happens. Right. And most of the time, I have the only thing I do know when I walk into the studio is the melody.
Uh-huh.
There's so many times that I've gone in the studio and a song has been rewritten right there in the booth.
Yeah, by the time you finish, it's a whole nother thing. You have a whole nother song. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
That's good because that means that you can be versatile. You know, some words might not fit the way it did at first when you first wrote it, but when you get in there and you connect with the music, you see that it's a little bit different than
Absolutely.
What you originally. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want to play variations real quick for you.
Okay. Did you say you want to play it or you want to?
I got it. Yeah, I'm playing it for you, babe.
Oh, well, thank you. That one myself. There is actually
good.
A story. You know what I'm going to do?
Well,
I'm going to try and call you on my house phone because while the song was playing, I was missing. It was going in and out, and I don't want us to get disconnected again.
Okay, sure. You can do that. We're going to take a break. Miss Veronique. Do her thing,
yes.
And you can just call me right back, okay? I'm going to play another one
awesome.
Of your songs. You're doing that.
Thank you. Okay, we'll do. All right, bye-bye.
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 You guys, this is My Old Flame. Somewhere before
reflections as I listen, when suddenly I remember once more my until I discover what became.
Thank you love so that. I love you. You know what? This is what I was imagining. You're standing on the stage. I went back to the Billie Holiday. You have your hair pulled to the back. You got that big old flower on the side. Shimmering, glimmery dress on. I was like, man, I love that.
Thank you. I am such a Sarah Vaughan fan. Look, girl, you got me all messed up. The guitarist on that particular tune is my MD in Detroit, Randall Wilson, who is by his in his own right just a phenomenal musician. And that particular tune, My Old Flame, was a Sarah Vaughan, Joe Pass tune. And when I tell you, excuse me, that Sarah and Joe came back and kicked our butts in the studio, it gives you it gives you a newfound respect, though, for the artists in that era, you know, the 20s, where you have the Billie Holidays. They were all on drugs, most of them, or they were heavy drinkers and or smokers, or all of the above.
Yep.
And to produce the music that they produced was amazing.
Man.
Oh, my God. So for me to be what we would call a clean-cut musician and vocalist, girl, when I tell you I was in there going, God dog it, I can do this song. Maybe I need to – I told Randall, I said, maybe we just need to go out and smoke a couple of crack rocks and drink some liquor and come on back in the studio and see what we can do. But that take right there, by the time we had gotten to that particular recording, we had done it about 6 times. And, you know, when you get to that point and you go, that's it, we're not doing it again because it's not going to get any better than that.
That's actually, wow.
It blows my mind. Girl, what? It blows my mind every time I hear it, but I never see myself, you know, I never see us. I sit sometimes and I go on YouTube, and if you've ever fished YouTube and I look at the, like I said, the Billies, the Sarahs, the Nina Simones, you know, I look at all of those videos and I watch them and it is phenomenal. So when I hear that song, that's what I see. That's what I think about. I haven't even thought about what I want to do for the video. I know I want to shoot a video for that, and of course, you know, it has to be in black and white. It wouldn't be right if it wasn't in black and white.
Right, that's right.
But
that is
I love that tune. What I wanted to do in Variations of Soul is, if you notice, there is no real theme in the project.
Yes.
It's exactly what the title entails. It's a variation of soul. It's gospel soul. It's house music. It's soulful house music. It's hard-hitting house music. It's laid-back soul music. And then I wanted to do a classic.
Well, you did that one. You going to do another one like that?
I am. I just haven't found one. Let me tell you, Randall's brother actually found that tune, and I told him, I said, I want to do a jazz standard. I want to put a jazz standard on this one. And what I wanted to do is I want it to be a dedication. So it would be kind of like a bonus track where, you know, it's just for your enjoyment. You're not really paying for it. It's just my love and dedication to you as the listener. And he said, you know what? We were going through old jazz standards, and he said, well, wait, I got one. Listen to this. And when he played it, I said, that's it. That is it. And all she said was, the music seems to be, I said, that's it, right there. You don't have to play no more. Let's do this one.
So you like that Nancy Washington? Is it Nancy Washington?
Nancy Wilson? No. Oh, my God. I love her.
Yeah. I have
she
her.
Is. Girl, what? She is such a class act on stage. I can't stand her. I just want to throw shoes at her.
Girl, you better sing.
Now, Now, you played Variations before. That song holds a special place in my heart because on the project, there's a song, a house music song called Use Me. That was my very first track, gospel house track. And the producer of that was the late Aaron Carl, who in his own right was a world-renowned house music DJ. Amazing. And my manager introduced us. We created that track. We worked together. It was so much synergy in the studio when we came together. It was amazing. And we got really, really close, you know, that he was my brother. And he passed away about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Variations was the last song that he actually produced for me. So if you go to the video on, and you can go to the video on YouTube, and I think it's on Reverb Nation as well. The very last thing that you see of the video is a dedication to him. That song holds such a special place in my heart, and what is really amazing is that anywhere that I perform it, anybody that hears it, they love it. And what it represents for me is the synergy that's still happening between he and I, even though, you know, he's no longer of this physical world. I wanted to say that because Aaron was so, like an artist, you're not appreciated until you've passed on. And that's what happened. And that's what happened for him, you know. But phenomenal. He was phenomenal. You can actually, if you go to my website, VeroniqueMusicOnline.com, there are performance videos. And Aaron was my other, he was the other diva queen. And there could be but two, as he used to say. But you can see videos of us performing our tracks together. There's another track on there that he produced. It's called All Right. It's a gospel house track where we just kind of took it back home, took it to church. But it's a duet between he and I. And I made him sing on that track with me. He thought I had written the song for myself. I said, no, sweetie, we're going to do this together. So he said I had him in the studio screaming like Tina Turner and I was Ike. But he was silly. But we performed that. We often performed together. We did that particular track at the Detroit Electronic Music Fest 1 year. But we also did that track, we performed that track at in Detroit at the Ribs and Soul Festival. They used to have a house, they would have a house music stage. So I did a lot of performing at some of the festivals there in Detroit as well. So
what's going on now?
Oh, Lord, what's going on now? Let's see. Thursday we leave for Arizona. I'm doing a show in Arizona. Last weekend I was in Atlanta. And I really kind of took a hiatus for a minute to just because when we moved here 3 years ago, just trying to get your footing in a new place. You know, we were making our connections, and I performed at Ben's Next Door here. I've done a couple of sit-in shows at Tacoma Station. I have a band. We put a band together called Soul Period. It's just myself, a bass player, and a drummer. And we play for the different acts who are a part of the New Soul Collective. They come to town, and when they perform, we accompany them in their shows. So I'm doing a little twofold. The story behind that is it took me a long time because I played in church so long. It took me a long time to actually come out of my shell on this side and play. Play and perform. So when people see it now,
on the secular side, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, on the secular side. I mean, in church, that was second nature, you know, because that's what I did. I mean, I sat at a piano and taught the and played for choirs for forever. So it's automatic when you walk into a church and people know who you are and they go, oh, good, we got a musician here. Come on up and sit down. But when you do that for so long, though, when I first came on the scene, when I first came on the scene as a vocalist, a lot of people didn't know that I was also a musician unless they either caught me sitting at a keyboard somewhere just playing around, or, you know, my manager told them. But she also plays keys. Because I really just wanted the luxury for a while to just stand on stage, to just stand and deliver.
You know,
you sit on your air for so many years. When you get a chance to get up off your air,
Girl,
I tell you, it was like blowing up a balloon. I was like blowing up a balloon. I was like, "Ooh, I didn't know I had that down there. Oh, I can." What? I'm using that lower diaphragm. All right. Yes.
Wait.
So, after a while, you know, I said, "Okay." I began to incorporate. Like, I do. I perform Rochelle Farrell's "I Forgive." That was one of the first songs that I did live on keys with my band in Detroit. And when I started to incorporate that in the show, that's when people began to see, oh, wow, she's a musician also.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
now,
not like
you...
Alicia Keys, because I'm older than Alicia. Give me Roberta. Give me all the old school ones. I am older than Alicia Keys.
Now, have you been able to do any work with any of those type of people? The ones you just mentioned?
Not yet. I would love to. I actually got an opportunity to meet Roberta Flack at, I can't think of the young lady's name. It was at a CD release party. She's one of the producers on her project. And the interesting part is my uncle and Miss Flack were very, very good friends back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Man.
So my segue was to introduce myself and to tell her who my uncle was.
Yeah.
That was my segue. She remembered him. She did remember him, you know, and I apologized to her because she had a long day, and, you know, she's a lot older now. So she was trying to sneak out the back, and I kind of stopped her. And this was, we were in New York. We were actually getting ready to do a quick I call it an exposition because it was like 3 minutes. And she was sneaking out the back, and I apologized for holding her up, but I wanted to introduce myself, of course, and I just wanted to see if she remembered my uncle because they hadn't seen each other in, Jesus, 30, almost 40 years?
Oh, man.
So, yeah, it had been a while. It had been a while. Yeah, so, but she remembered him, you know. She would call, she used to eat dinner at his house, and I was like, wow, cool. Yeah, the little kid thing, cool.
Yeah, cool, awesome.
Cool. I went all the way back to the 80s with that one, girl.
Yes. I really, really enjoyed this interview. I hate that we have to end, but
me
I definitely
too.
Back here. I definitely need to get you back on here.
Please, I would love to be back.
You are such an inspiration. I really love you. You can tell you have that spirit. You know what you're doing. You're doing a damn thing, and I'm going to say it just like that. You're doing a damn thing, and I love it. I mean, it's awesome.
Thank you so much.
God is blessing you in every way. You can tell. You can hear it in your voice. So
you
keep doing what you're doing. And one more thing. Now, where will you be? You said you're going to be in Arizona?
Yes, and I wish I could tell you exactly. I'm going to be in Phoenix. I do know I'm going to be in Phoenix, but I can't tell you the place, so I know you got listeners in Phoenix, but here's what. You can find out all of that information at VeroniqueMusic.com, Veronique Music Online, and music is spelled with the Q. So it's
okay.
Veronique, VeroniqueMusic, online.com. All of my dates are listed on that particular website. You can also purchase my music on that website and anywhere else you can buy music. I am on iTunes. So if you have an iPhone and you want to download the music, you can go on there, buy it, and download it. It's all available. I do want to let you guys know that my new single, A Part of Life, will be coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Oh,
you're going to, yes, honey, you're going to love that, and I will make sure to get you. I'll make sure that my manager forwards you in your email a copy of that single, so
yes,
that you can start playing it on your show.
Exactly.
And
actually,
then the
I'm going to use some of your songs already. You just don't know it yet.
Oh, well, please do. Please do. I would love it. I would be so honored. I'm honored that you even had me on your show. I thank you so much. And thank you to Dawood, who just shared the music with you, and I appreciate him so much. He just joined the family, just joined the team, the New Soul Collective team, so we are so happy to have him. Again, I'm honored that you thought enough of me to have me on your show. You guys look for the new project Journey coming out in late January, early February.
Okay, awesome, awesome. I want to say thank you so much, sweetie. Look, bring it back. And I want, let me see, I only had 90 seconds. Okay, I want to say thank you very much for coming on. And I'm looking forward to bringing you back, okay?
Thank you. You have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye. You guys, that was Veronique. Oh, Awesome Variations is her album. She has a new album coming out, you guys. This was so awesome. I want to thank you guys for listening in. You guys have a great night. Salita with Say Your Peace Radio Network, and I'm out. Bye-bye.